Our first reading this morning is Psalm 100, found on page 541 in your pew Bibles. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, found on page 1064 in your pew Bibles. Chapter 1, starting with verse 15. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what it is, what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and domination, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In our gospel reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew, thank you, Joan. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As long as, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. It's about as clear as it gets, isn't it? That we are family. That God sees us as children. Children in a big family. And in fact, we could take this whole book the series of books from beginning to end, and we can see that what it's really about is from the start, God hurting over the distance between God and God's creation. God hurting. So many people choose to turn away or get lost or any number of other things that can happen that lead its people to be far away. I probably am going to need that. Sermon's title is A Family Thanksgiving. And I want you to focus with me on God's side. Now, the message in the gospel is clear that we are supposed to treat others as we would treat God. We are supposed to reach out to others and do for others, recognizing that they are beloved of God, blessed by God, and important to God. And we are to help others to come back home. To come back home. Now, I remember very well the first holiday I spent far from home. Teresa and I had moved to South Carolina right after we were married. And I remember as Thanksgiving approached, and we're 850 miles away with maybe a nickel and a penny to rub together. And I remember getting out the Christmas stuff right before Thanksgiving and being very homesick, but not wanting to tell my new bride how homesick I was. Now, and I pulled out a Christmas album, and I went, record albums, for those of you who are young, they're made of vinyl and they're round with a hole in the middle. And they come in these big sleeve things with pictures on the cover. And I went to tip it out. And what slid out, besides the album I was expecting, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir doing the Messiah, was this old record album with a yellow label. It was Johnny Kay and some orchestra from 1940-something or other. It was the family Christmas album that somehow had ended up in my Christmas album collection. This was the record my sister's going to ask for it back as soon as church is over. This was the record album I grew up on. As the family was preparing for the holidays, we would put that album on and play it to death over and over again. And I put it on. Was beautiful. But the strangest phenomenon occurred. Now, many of you have had the benefit of my mother's voice for several years. You know what a beautiful voice she has. I had the benefit of that voice for my whole life. And after all those years, like 22 years of hearing it, 23 years of hearing her voice with that record, she was 850 miles away. And I heard her. I mean, like, she was in the next room. This was not like I was imagining. I could call up my mother's voice. And she sang along with me, as long as I could sing, which wasn't very long because I choked up, of course. But it was like an 850-mile hug. And I felt warm, and I felt lonesome, and I felt wonderful, and I felt terrible. And it was so beautiful to feel all those things, bittersweet and sweet, and everything else that is a typical holiday for all of us, isn't it? We miss the people who aren't right there with us. We remember other times, and we marvel at the beauty that's still there with us. And it was such a special time. And I remembered that as I was preparing the sermon. And I wanted to think in my mother's terms instead of my own finally. And what it must have been like for her little baby boy, not necessarily her favorite, to be so far away at a time that is a family time. And knowing she wasn't listening to that record, and could she hear my voice? And that makes me think of our God. And when we get so far away, how lonely is God for us? How lonesome and hurting is God for us when we're far away? And does God hear our voice? Does God call us home? This Christmas season, the next 4 weeks, Bob and I decided we're going to act like children. What's new? What's different? We decided you're going to act like children too. We're going to start singing Christmas carols right away next Sunday. We're going to get lost in the wonder and the hope of the season. We're going to sing and listen for those voices. And we're going to say to God, we're here. We're coming home. Now, we have so much to be thankful for in our lives. We have so much beauty that God has given us. And if you find yourself in a place where you don't feel so close to God, know this. God misses you so much and is calling you right now and wants nothing more than for you to come home.